Tonight, when we stand together, what the Lord has for us, amen.
When pangs of death seized all my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, till Jesus came.
For the tonight, tell each other, oh, I would not be denied. Oh, I would not be denied. Until Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, I would not be denied. Oh, I would not. Remember the 27th, I believe it is, trying to find it here. The youth Bible study is this Thursday for ages, 15 to 30. This Thursday, this Friday is for the younger ones. And also it's highly recommended that the young people, 15 to 30, listen to Thinking Man's Filter before the youth Bible study. This is Chris put in here. And also Sister Dottie Bryant is feeling much better today after coming from prayer and getting something to eat, so praise the Lord for that. He's still touching us, small ways, big ways, but he's still touching us. Amen. I'm going to request tonight for Brother Giroux. He's not feeling well. This is from Sister Lydia. Any unspoken requests tonight? By the uplifted hand. Brother Sam Ventura, would you come up and pray over these requests? Just remember this speaker tonight and just keep our hearts open, Lord. What will you have for us, Lord? Just yield us and get us out of the way. You can speak through us.
Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, so good to be in your house tonight, Lord. Thank you for this lovely day, Lord, this morning service, Lord, spoke to our hearts, Lord, and we're grateful for it, Lord. And we know that, Lord, we don't want to be legalists, Lord, but yet there's a balance in the scriptures your prophet taught us, and Lord, may we find your perfect will in our lives, Lord. Lord, I pray for this evening's service, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come down once again and meet the needs of the people, Lord. And we're a hungry people, we're a needy people, Lord. And we thank you for the testimonies today, how you're touching your children and healing them and making them well, Lord. You're a wonderful God, and you hear the cries of your people, Lord. And Lord, for these requests that have been made known, those that are sick and afflicted in their bodies, Lord, we ask that you would touch them now, Lord. And Lord, those that have financial need and spiritual need tonight, Lord, may, Lord, our faith reach out and touch the hem of your garment tonight, Lord, and be made completely whole, Lord. And that's our request tonight, Lord. And anoint the minister tonight, Lord, that he would break the bread of life. And Lord, may we know that it's you speaking to us, Lord. You know the thoughts and the intents of our heart, Lord. You know what we're going through, Lord. And you know what it takes, Lord, to get us through this dark and evil age, Lord. And yet it's the darkest age, but it's also, there's a wonderful light in this age, Lord. And we're so grateful, Lord, that you've given us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive it, Lord. As we heard this morning, it's not us, Lord. It's all you. Lord, it's you doing the work. It's and that's why, Lord, you deserve all the glory and all the honor in our lives, Lord. Make you, may you make each and every one of us a testimony in this age of Laodicea, Lord. And may each and every one come into what you've ordained us to be into, Lord. And I just pray that you would help the brother tonight to get out of the way. And Lord, may he yield his flesh unto you, and may you speak through him. May we be completely filled when we leave this place tonight, Lord, and ready to give out as we freely received, Lord. We just pray now that you receive our worship, Lord. May you receive our praise. We love you, Lord, with all our hearts. And we pray in your name tonight, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated tonight. This time we have a special from Brother Joel, Sister Christy, Brother Luke, and Sister Stephanie. While they're coming, let's sing that song you're playing there.
Why bless your name? I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the
God cover me through. cover me when I am going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me, cover me.
Peace of God, cover me.
Appreciate that tonight, Lord Bishop. We sang this last Sunday morning. It's a little at the end of a special we done. And Brother Nathan, we wanted to learn it, so we're going to try it tonight. I love this song. If you know it, please help us sing it, and we'll learn it tonight. Amen. So I'm casting all my cares on you.
Restoration for redemption.
this time. Let's sing this together. And I'm amazed that you love me. Oh, I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away.
Song, my sins are washed away. That's something that's great to remember. That's something great to sing. That's something great to think about. My sins are washed away, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, friends. But He took the punishment that I deserved. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 2. Tonight we're just going to read verse 18 as we begin on the introduction to Thyatira and church age. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. Keep your Bibles handy for our memorization section for this chapter. We'll be out of the Bible instead of a memorization out of the church age books. Revelation chapter 2 verse 18. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just embark on this next chapter, this next church age, Lord, I just pray that you would take the scriptures, take the history, take what your prophet wrote down for us and preached in that sermon, Lord. May they become real to us. May it show us the reality of what we believe. May it open our eyes to the battle that goes on around us, oh God. Lord, we just want to commit our lives into your hands, Lord, and we thank you for the word that you've given to us. We thank you that it's been recorded. We thank you that it's been written down, Lord, to guide and instruct our lives, Lord. And we're so accountable to it because we have it in so many forms and so many ways to hear and to study, Lord. I just pray, Father, that it never become common to us, Lord, but that more and more as that day approaches, it would be more and more of a passion in our hearts. We love you, Lord. May you just have full preeminence in this service. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. So we'll do, I know it's been a few weeks, but we'll do a question review from lesson 39. So those of you that have your books and have gone through it, can God overlook the sin of those who have borne his name in vain? No, they must repent. God's not going to call yourself a Christian and walk around bringing a bad testimony on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. You have to repent. I think that goes along very well with what Brother Nathan was talking about this morning. Don't just have it on the outside. Let it be on the inside. Amen. Let it be a reality of the truth of it. Why would we, as Brother Branham says, the skies are full of the realities. Why would we choose to just act out a part when we can have the reality? Amen. So those who fought the blank will one day find... Those who fought the word will one day find the word fighting them. Just let that sink in for a little bit. So I don't like this particular doctrine in the message. And you want to fight against it. What are you fighting? One day you'll find the word is fighting you. And guess who wins? And it's like I remember, well, I won't say which one, but when one of the boys, you know, kind of would have some attitude issues and things like that. And I remember one time, you know, probably not my best father moment, but, you know, it was like, do you want to go? Do you want to do this? Do you want to fight? You know, because we can if it's, you know, if that's what it takes to get you to recognize who's in charge here, let's go, let's do this. And, you know, it's like, man, you know, I was like, so who do you think's going to win? You. It's like, that's like trying to fight the word, you know, a five-year-old. That's nothing like that, really, but, you know, trying to give you a visual, you know, me versus a five-year-old, who's going to win? You versus the word, who's going to win? It's similar in that, anyway. You have more chance against me. Each message to each age holds a blank to the blank. Incentive to the believer. We have a reward in this gospel. We have a reward, and it makes it worth it. Not that it's not worth it without the reward, but God is so good and so loving that he gives us a reward and gives us that incentive that here, overcome, because look what I'm giving you to overcome. So it's wonderful. Each messenger has a great responsibility as well as a wonderful privilege. Bonus question, what was that privilege? Presenting the bride, the people of the bride in his day to Jesus Christ. Amen. In every age, God began to give back by blank that which was blank. Give back by revelation that which was hidden. Who does God give manna to? Overcomers. He won't open his treasures to those who spurn what is already revealed. This is one worth dwelling on for just a moment. If you again, you want to go fight the word, you want to say like, well, I don't like this thing, so Lord, I'm just going to leave this thing right here. I don't like what your prophet said here. I don't like this revelation or this thing. So Lord, I don't like it, but we'll just bypass that one, and you just give me more. No, God gives you a revelation, and you say, I don't like it. He's going to wait. He's not going to give you any more. So sometimes we get stuck for very, very long times because we get proud or we get, you know, it should be my way. We get a little control in our lives, and we get stuck at a place, and there's more revelation that we could get, and the only person that's getting hurt is us by our own ignorance and our own willful disobedience sometimes. Abraham, Sarah, and others' names were given because of a blank or brought about a blank. Change and change. They were given because of a change or brought about a change, mostly in character as well. God will give believers what kind of rewards and how long will they last? Rewards of great beauty, and they will have eternal duration. So we're going to review what five things are repeated in each age. And this is, again, looking back at the structure of what's in Revelations chapter 2 for each age. So as you read through each section in the Bible for each age, what are the five things you're going to see in every single address to each age? To the angel, I know thy works, he that hath an ear, expression of deity, and he that overcometh, or the incentive to the believer. So each time you read through it, it's going to be under the angel of this church. Each age, he addresses them. I know your works. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto him. The expression of deity. He that hath the sword in his hand. All of those attributes that he's showing who he is in this age. He names himself as the Son of God in this age. And this is the only age that he names himself as the Son of God. And we'll talk about that. And he that overcometh, or that incentive to the believer. So before we get to our memorization section, just a little word on Columba here that Brother Branham points out is that he became a brilliant consecrated scholar, committing to memory most of the scripture. God called him in an audible voice to be a missionary. So we want to just focus on that, committing to memory most of the scripture. And you would say, this is a great segue for what we're about to memorize. And that, yes, absolutely. And you would say also, like, yes, but Brother Trevor, I would like you to note, before it says he committed most of the scripture to memory, that he said he was a brilliant consecrated scholar. And so maybe that's just a little different. And that's why I'm not asking you to memorize all of scripture. We're just going to do, for this particular one, we're going to do Psalm 119, 7 through 16. And maybe we'll just go through about half of it. We'll go 7 through 11. So if you want to take out your Bibles, because I didn't have, well, I could have taken the time, but I just didn't want to take the time to do, that would have been six, you know, like 9 or 10 more slides probably, and I just didn't want to, because you have your Bibles, or your phones, which have a Bible app on them, right? Awkward pause. All right, Psalms chapter 119, verse 7. We can just read them together. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So we'll just stop right there, but you can maybe note that Psalm 119, 7 through 16. That's our memorization. It ends there at verse 16. I delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So I thought that was very appropriate for us in this age. If Columba committed most of Scripture to memory, instead of maybe a passage out of the church age book, we would do a little bit of Scripture to be like Columba as we study this age. So just kind of, you know, I always bring up this map because this map took a very long time, and Brother Branham said it was an area about the size of Indiana or the size of Pennsylvania, and so I superimposed Indiana and Pennsylvania, and you've all heard that part before, but those stars are the seven churches. All of the other points are cities that had Christian churches, and so this is where we remember that why were only there seven picked, and why was it those seven? And Brother Branham tells us that God picked those seven cities to be addressed here in the book of Revelations because of their specific characteristics, and the characteristics of that city mapped to the age, and what was going on in that city at that time is what in type is going on in the age in its time. So that's why these seven cities were picked. So we're going to start here and look at the messenger of the Thyatiran age, which was Columba. But if someone can tell me, who was the first messenger? Paul. Who was the second messenger? Irenaeus. Third messenger? Martin. And now we're on Columba. This is a picture of the stained glass window in the abbey on the island of Iona in Scotland. You know, of course, This is actually fairly modern. Only within the last few hundred years was this actually done. So you can see that it's a bit more Catholic in its nature and things like that. Columba was born in Ireland, 521 AD, died 597 AD. So why was Columba picked? And Brother Branham, this is a quote there that we have there in the, I think it was the Ephesian age. Here it is, in unchanging God with unchanging ways. What he did at the first, he will have to keep doing until it is done for the last time. There will never be a change. Apply that to the church ages. The kind of man that God chose for the first age, how God manifested in that man's ministry, would be the example for all other ages. What God did in the first church age is what he wants to do in all other ages. So the seven churches, or the six following, will look like the first church. The messengers will look like the first messenger. So Paul, Brother Branham gave us those three things, that he was true to the word, he had signs and wonders, he rejected organization. Every single messenger is going to have those attributes throughout the seven ages. And it was that truth that helped Brother Branham. He used that truth to find who he believed was the messenger to each age. And in this age, it was, I think, very obviously Columba. But maybe an astute observer would notice that the Thyatiran age starts in 606 and ends in 1520 for a period of 914 years. And that Columba was born in 521, but he died in 597. And you would say, this is one of those nuggets in the message where Brother Brenham missed it. And he's trying to deceive us all. Because you maybe have heard that, because I have. And so then you go, what? No. And then you go, wait a second. But Brother Branham said, the death of Paul before the revelation was given does not at all annul the fact that he was the messenger to the Ephesian age. For the messenger to every age, regardless of when he appears or goes, is the one who influences that age for God by means of a word manifested ministry. So if, and we're going to get into this more, but if we begin to think about the period of the Thyatiran age, this was the Dark Ages. And the Catholic Church believed that now, because as we talked about in Pergamos, the marriage of church and state, now the church has all the power in the world. Because they're married to the state power and they can do whatever they want. So if they've got all the power in the world, now suddenly the church is in power. So what obviously when the church is in power, what is that? Well, that's a millennium. So they believe the millennium is on. And, you know, the problem was, is they didn't have the character of Jesus Christ, which is what we need in the millennium. So instead, what that did was that spiraled the world into a period of dark ages. Dark ages. Ages where there is no light. And so, well, if you have an age where there really isn't light, it would make sense then, wouldn't it, that maybe the messenger was just before, that messenger who had the light, who had the truth for that age, was just before that period that was a dark age. Amen? So, this is not a problem for us. Columba's ministry was the ministry that influenced that age. There was no other ministry that would influence that age any greater than Columba. That he was just before that age really makes no difference whether he was the messenger or not. So now as we want to get into a little bit more about Columba, I took my last trip, I think it was one of the last trips I took to Europe, had an opportunity to, I was invited to Scotland to preach, and Columba was born in Ireland but then moved to an island of Iona in Scotland, and it was just always something that I really wanted to do was to go and see and walk in those places. I've been blessed that I've stood behind the Seventh Church Age Messenger's pulpit. I've had a chance to get behind the Sixth Church Age Messenger's pulpit. I'm looking forward to going to Germany one day, and maybe I can find one from Luther and stand behind that one. And if there is one that still exists, there isn't any pulpits that are still in existence for Columba, but I felt like going to the island that he lived on and worked from and missionaried from would just be a blessing and something that I really wanted to do. So while I was on that trip, kind of did a little tour, and I tried to do a video of me telling you everything that I would tell you right now at this section of the sermon, but I did that on location and tried to mix it, and hopefully it's creative. It's nothing like what I wanted it to be, but then neither was my time or budget. So if you feel like it's a little cheesy, well, time. And there was also the storm Lorenzo, which none of us heard about, but they sure heard about in Ireland, because Lorenzo was actually a hurricane headed towards the island of Iona on the last day that we were there, causing us to have to leave a good 6 hours earlier than we had planned so that we wouldn't get stuck, because I had to be on a plane the next morning to fly to Norway. And it was a two-ferry hop. You had to go from Iona to Mull, cross the island of Mull, and then get on another ferry to get back to the mainland of Great Britain to where we could take our flight out, and we didn't want to get stuck. So they said, you should leave now. And so we said, thank you very much. We're gone. So this video could be better, but hopefully it's a bit creative. Thought it might be interesting for you guys to see, and I hope it's a blessing to you.
St. Columba, also known as Columcille, is known to us as the messenger to the Fourth Church Age, the Age of Thyatira. Columba was born on December 7th, 521 AD, in the Donegal County of Ireland. In later years, Columba settled on the small island of Iona and was a missionary to the Scottish people. Columba was a preacher, teacher, scribe, poet, and statesman. The miraculous followed his life from a young age. Though many have said the stories of Columba's life are hagiography or embellished in favor of a great man, if Columba indeed was one of the seven stars in the right hand of Christ, as spoken of in Revelations 1, 16 and 20, we would expect to see the miraculous exceedingly abundantly in his life. As the stories are of the great men of the Bible, so are the stories of those who believe on God throughout the history of the world. Columba was one such man.
This is Columba's Bay. This is where, in 563 AD, Columba and his 12 men arrived on the island of Iona. They had found other islands, but each time Columba would climb up the hill, here on Iona, he climbed up this hill right here to look back to see if he could see Ireland. One of the reasons he left Ireland was because of a war that he had kind of helped start, and a few thousand men had died, and he felt terrible and was kind of given a penance of having to leave Ireland, his native country and the land that he loved. So he came to Iona and he landed here at what's known as Columba's Bay. Columba started his work. Now, he had still a young man. He formed many monasteries in Ireland itself. He had a handful of monasteries and monks that had come to learn from him, but Iona was his new home until he died here on this island. So this is where he came from Ireland, over in a Corsica, I believe it's called. It was one of those types of boats that it was skinned, stretched over wood. And he came from Ireland. Ireland is just south of here. But here's where he remained, because this was the point that he couldn't see Ireland anymore. Now, Iona is a very lush island as far as fertile soil, lots of water, and plenty of good grazing ground for cattle and sheep. So they could start a monastery here and be very successful and be able to evangelize the Scottish nation and also be able to, you know, live the monastic lifestyle where they would farm and just live very simply.
On this hill is the site where Columba lived and worked as a scribe. They found the remains of a hut that would have been built here. It said that Columba oversaw the abbey, which is to my left. You can hear the church bells now. And it's there that he transcribed and the scriptures. Was a daily task for Columba to make other copies of the Word of God. It's even said at one point where one of his young scribes had finished a copy and asked him to edit it and proofread it. Columba, handing it back to him without even looking at it, said it's perfect except for one eye. Upon looking at it, of course, they found it exactly as Columba had said, only missing an eye. So here's where Columba lived and worked as he was here on the island of Iona.
I'm up on the Seathen Moor, the hill which Columba is said to have climbed. One of his monks had followed him, even though he had requested not to, and watched him from a nearby hill on the other side. Columba came up this hill to pray in the evenings and mornings at various times. One time, as the young monk had followed him, he noticed that there were angels following Columba and ministering to Columba as he walked and as he prayed. Columba, of course, knew, went back to the abbey and wanted to know who followed him. Told the young man, after he had confessed, not to report what he had seen until after he had died.
My intention that morning was to pray at sunrise where Columba was said to have prayed. I found out later I wasn't exactly at the right spot. This is the Hill of the Angels.
I'm walking up the trail that St. Columba may have walked 1,400 years ago on his way to the fort of King Brude called Craig Fadrig. Craig Fadrig means Rock of Patrick, and it was here that something very supernatural in Columba's life happened. Let's go up to the fort.
I'm walking along the walls of the historic, the ruins of the historic fort here at Craig Fadrig. This spot was King Bruta's castle. There's quite a steep climb to get up here. It would have been very protected, and the lock behind us, and many things, a very prominent point over the current city of Inverness. Now, Columba, when he came here, was the first time he met King Bruta. Now, the king, not knowing who Columba was, and really had a druid priest influence always standing right by him as one of his advisors, was here, and Columba came to the fort, and they wouldn't let him in. They barred the gates of the fort to Columba. But Columba was here on a mission to preach the gospel. Undeterred, Columba prays to God, puts his hand on the gates of the fort, and the fort opens to Columba. Columba walks in. The king now suddenly has a change of heart, as his fort has just been broken by a one-man army with God behind him. And Columba comes, preaches the gospel. The king is converted and has becomes a good friend to Columba throughout his life. Well, here at Craig Fadrig, I wanted to relate a couple of the stories of the druid priest Broiken, who was the foster father of King Bruta. That's why King Bruta, even after being saved, allowed Broiken to stay around because of the bonds of family. Took Broiken a while. If he ever did come to Christ, we don't know it, but the Lord certainly did a few things to show him his power. The first story, Columba was asked by Broiken, "When are you leaving?" And Columba said, "Oh, in a few days we're leaving." Broiken said, "No, I'm going to make the winds and the waves go against you. There's no way you'll be able to leave." Well, on the day of his departure, Columba walks down the crag and out to the lock and gets in the boat. The waves begin to mount. The winds begin to go directly towards the crag. Now, on a sailing ship, of course, you wouldn't be able to go away from the crag when the winds are blowing straight towards it. Columba gets in his ship and prays, and they begin to push away from the shore, and the ship sails contrary to the winds and waves against them, and they leave in perfect peace away from the crag. Now, another story about Broiken on another visit is Broiken had a female slave that he had taken in one of the wars. Now, Columba, of course, felt sorry for the young girl and told Broiken he needed to set her free. Broiken refused adamantly. Columba told Broiken, "If you don't let this girl go, by the time I leave this province, you will die." Columba, on his day of departure, decided to leave, heads down the crag and out to the lock, has a vision there at the on the shoreline, and begins to tell his compatriots. Broiken has now sent two messengers. He's broken a glass in his hand, and he's taken violently ill. He's on the point of death. He picks up a pebble and says, "By this pebble, many in this area shall be made well." Of course, two horsemen, messengers from the king, come down the mountain, begin to tell Columba and his men everything that Columba had just said had happened. Columba sends his messengers back with the pebble, and they come back up the crag to the fort, tell the king everything that Columba had said, and that if Broiken would get rid of the would free the slave and send her with them so they could take her back to her family, that they should take this pebble and put it in a glass of water, and Broiken should drink from it and be made well. So this is what happens. Broiken, of course, on the point of death, has no choice but to free the slave. She goes with the messengers. They put the pebble in the water, and this pebble cannot be submerged in the water. It floats like an apple or an acorn would. Broiken takes the water, drinks from it, and is instantly made well. Many people after this, as they saved the pebble, were made well by drinking water from a glass that this pebble was floating in. Such was the power and of God in Columba's life. I'm standing here at Loch Ness, home of the legend of the Loch Ness Monster. What maybe you didn't know was that Columba had a very big part in the beginning of that legend. So Columba was here, and there was a man who had been in the water and had been bitten by the Loch Ness Monster and had died. And there were men who were going to bury this man. And Columba, feeling very sorry for him, had seen the boat that this man had been using, but it was on the other side of the loch. So he instructed one of his men to swim across the loch and to get the boat and to bring it back for them. As the man begins to swim across, the monster, having not yet been satiated, begins to attack this man of Columba's as well. And Columba, raising his hand, said, "You shall not attack the man any further. You should go back where you came from." And the monster then left the man, went back. Reminds me of the story Brother Branham tells about the killer bull or the hornets that were in his yard. I don't know if Columba loved the monster, but that was the beginning of the legend of the Loch Ness Monster that many people have come from all over the world to try to find the Loch Ness Monster. But the beginning of that tale started in Columba, and Columba instructing whatever creature that might have been to go back and not hurt one of the saints of God. Hiked up to the top of Dunee, the highest point here on the island of Iona. The intention was to have a nice sunset behind me, a nice source of light behind me. I really wanted to bring out many of the stories out of Columba's life where light or angels of light had come and been part of his ministry, been witnessed by many who've seen him from the time he was a small child all the way through his life. Beginning at his life, in a similar instance to even what Brother Branham had, there was a priest who was given care over Columba as he was a young child who came in one night and saw a ball of fire over top of Columba's forehead. It then expanded upwards and finally went out of the room. On another instance, Columba was visiting another island farther north here in Scotland. He was given a hut to stay in, and it was said that they could see light coming out of the hut for the full 3 days that he was there. Also, they were hearing songs that no men had ever sang before, and many revelations were given to Columba on that time. And all of the observers around could just see out of the cracks in the hut, through the wood, through the door, this light emanating out of it. In another instance, while Columba was still back in Ireland, there was a number of priests who had disagreed with a few things, really trifling issues, that Columba had done, and they were upset with how much command and respect that Columba had, even though he was a young man at the time. So they had all kind of agreed that they would not stand when Columba came into the room. And so as Columba was off in the distance coming towards the conference that was being held, one of the men looked and saw angels of God and this light surrounding him and really understood that this was God's messenger coming. This man then, when Columba entered, rose and paid him the highest respect. These other priests were very upset with him later and said, "Why did you rise? We had decided that we were all going to sit." And the man said, "If you would have seen what I saw, the angel of God escorting Columba here, and how important his life and ministry will be, you would have rose as well." There were many other such instances in Columba's life. One of the last ones that I want to relate to you is there was a young monk here at the Abbey in Iona, and he had gone into the church to pray into one of the side rooms and was praying very fervently. He didn't realize that Columba had come in and had begun to pray, and it was after dark, and suddenly the whole church had been lit up with light. The young man, of course, seeing that light had come, but being very, very afraid at such brilliant light being in the church, bowed his head and kept reverent the whole time. Columba, later speaking to him on the next day, said, "You did well to bow your head and be in reverence, or that light might have burned your eyes and you would have been blind from this time on." So many times there was light in Columba's ministry, very, very evident that God was leading him, that God was vindicating him as the messenger to the fourth church age. So behind me is Torre Annaba, the hill that Columba was living and working in as he oversaw the monastery here. And it was there he spent his final day writing in the 34th Psalm. And the final verse that he wrote was, "They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." He put down his pen, he went into church for service that evening, came back to his hut, and many of the monks were gathered around him. And at that time, he knew he was going to die that evening. The Lord had showed him that. He raises his hands and says to his brethren,
"These, O my children, are the last words I address to you, that ye be at peace and have unfeigned charity among yourselves. And if you thus follow the example of the Holy Fathers, God the Comforter of the good will be your helper. And I, abiding with him, will intercede for you, and he will not only give you sufficient to supply the wants of this present life, but will also bestow on you the good and eternal rewards which are laid up for those which keep his commandments."
Columba then laid down on his rock for a pillow and rested for a few hours. After this, right before midnight, he wakes up and he runs down into the church to go and pray. So coming quickly into the church, Columba kneels to spend his last few moments in prayer. This, of course, is not the church that Columba had built. This is just a small chapel, actually the shrine over where he was originally buried. But Columba, having risen up very suddenly, the monks that were with him waiting for his last few moments had not come very quickly. And so here he was in the church, and the church was filled with light. His young servant comes to the door, opens the door, sees the light, and the light suddenly goes out. His young servant then reaches and goes through the darkness trying to find his master, finds him at the altar and holds him, and the young other monks coming all gather around as Columba takes his last few moments and his breath finally goes out. Columba died in 597. As we talked many times in this video about different stories where light was always surrounding Columba, is it any wonder to us that the light has finally gone out for that fourth church age? Columba, the messenger of that age, the star of that age, the light for that day had died, and the light had gone out in the church. That same year, the Roman Catholic Church came to the island of Britain and begins to organize everything that Columba had set up. And what followed then was a 1,000-year period of dark ages. Well, is it any wonder then that after Columba dies, the light goes out?
Raising the dead, healing the sick, is walking in the light. Had to him come Columba, the great, powerful saint of God, many of the other great saints packing the message on down, walking in the light. The gospel light, the same light that shined on the day of Pentecost. Christ standing in the midst of his people. And the seven golden candlesticks reflecting his radiance like the sun in the middle of its heat.
Amen. Hope that was a blessing. So many things I learned. I read quite a few of the biographies. There's really only one biography that all of the other books about Columba are taken from. It's a work by a man by the name of Adamnan, who was also a monk there, became a bishop there on Iona. I think within 30 to 50 years of Columba's life. So very accurate portrayal, we believe, though some of the things that were talked about that were done in Columba's life seemed just incredible. And even me reading them, at first I was just like, I don't know. Like, I believe it about Brother Branham. And it's like, well, this is another star to another age. Maybe he's not a prophet. But we have no reason to believe that the incredible things would not follow those that believe on God. That's what Brother Branham has taught us all along, is that these signs shall follow them that believe. So, I find it very believable, all of these stories of the fourth church age messenger. So, like I said, hope that was a blessing. Sorry, I realized too late what the little fuzzy filter that goes over the microphone is for, to help block out the wind. Some of those little clips had that benefit, and then many of them did not. So, like I said, time and budget. You know, if I would have had a lighting crew and a microphone crew, and instead it was me and Brother Daniel Chikosi. You know, so we, on a shoestring budget, tried to put that together. So, let's now talk about the city just for just a few minutes, and we'll close here. Just where is Thyatira? Thyatira is number 4 on this map. So as we come along, we've found Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and now Thyatira. And what does Thyatira mean? Brother Branham tells us it means dominating female or continual sacrifice. Wikipedia will tell you that it means daughter. And you think, well, Brother Trevor, we here at Church of the Open Door don't care about what Wikipedia says. We care about what Brother Branham says. So why on earth did you add that Wikipedia definition? And well, because it was just really interesting to read that it was an ancient Greek city. Thyatira was an ancient Greek city called Pelopia and Semiramis before it was renamed to Thyatira during the Hellenistic era in 290 BC by King Seleucus I Nicator. He was at war with Lysimachus when he learned that his wife had given birth to a daughter. According to Stephanus of Byzantium, he called this city Thyatira, meaning daughter, although it is likely that it is an older Lydian name. So he named it daughter. He named it daughter while he was at war. So he named it about a female while he was in an act of domination. Dominating female, so it really isn't that. I threw that in there just in case you maybe thought, well, I'm going to go look up Thyatira on Wikipedia and see if Brother Branham's right, because, of course, that's what discerning adults do. They look to see if Wikipedia agrees with the prophet of God, as if that was, like, somehow, yeah. So anyway, we're all together on that. But I thought it was very interesting that it was called Semiramis at one point, before it was renamed to Thyatira. It's like, hello. So, what was Thyatira known for? What are the characteristics? What are the characteristics that we're going to be talking about from Thyatira that are going to be applying in type to this age as we go through the next few lessons? Well, it was known for the worship of Apollo. Apollo had a prophetess that spoke for him that sat on a tripod chair. And it also was known for guilds, or kind of like unions, and you had to worship Apollo to be a part of these guilds. And if you weren't a part of these guilds, you couldn't work. And so Apollo was the son of Zeus, otherwise known as the sun god. And if you're into Greek mythology and things like that, you will tell me, Helios was the sun god. And it's like, well, okay, we can be technical, and Helios was the one who helped the sun to rise. But Apollo is known as the sun god, or god of light and music, poetry, prophecy, healing, things like that. So he was known as a sun god as well. Thought it was really interesting about a prophetess that speaks for Apollo that sits on a tripod chair. So this is a dominating female that, is speaking for the god on the basis of a trinity. This is why Thyatira was chosen for this age. Also, guilds. You had to work. To work, you had to be part of a guild, and to be part of a guild, you had to worship Apollo. So in order to really be anything of note or be able to make it, you had to be part of this system. We know it as denomination, but this was a system that was set up, that it was a religious system you had to be a part of, and if you weren't a part of that. So you can imagine, as we talk about, you know, the persecutions that are going to be happening to the church in Thyatira, this obviously was something that was very difficult for them. How do they work unless they have to go and worship at Apollo? I ain't going to do that. So what am I going to do? How do I live without being part of this system? And that was a very difficult thing. And it can be a very difficult thing in our age as well. Some of the concepts that we're going to talk about: Son of God, as I said there in the passage in Revelations for this age, he names himself as the Son of God, and this is the only age that he names himself as the Son of God. That's significant. We'll get into why that is, but we'll see that there's an attack on the Son of God in this age through a pope trying to be the vicar of Christ in this age, because it was around 600 that truly the first pope, as we know it as a pope, came into be. And also, actually it was 606, the same year as the church age starting, and also the rise of Mohammedism, or Islam, happened in this age as well. And if you think about what is Islam, well, it's a religion that denies that Jesus Christ is actually God, while it denies that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God and makes him just a man, just a prophet like Muhammad. What is it? It's an attack on who the Son of God is. So that's one of the reasons that he enters this age and enters this scripture with "these things saith the Son of God." We'll also talk about Jezebel and then Jezebel's daughter Athaliah. Unless you're Brother Jack or Brother Nathan, and then it's Athalia. Or the guy who reads the church age book, as if he was an authority. So, a bit shorter tonight. You got to watch a movie, and it was only like 45 minutes long. So, you're welcome. God bless you. Musicians, you can come. Maybe, because it was shorter, that would inspire some of you to say, you know what, I'm going to pick that church age book back up, and I'm going to read it for that 15 minutes that Brother Trevor gave us tonight, and I'll spend that 15 minutes, just it's okay, just start on page whatever, it's 200 and something. Oh, there's a couple of notes I wanted to say. Starts on page like 209, I think, so just pick it up, turn it to page 213, and just start. It'll be good. So a couple of notes. As you're reading this, there's one part where Brother Branham's talking about Mystery Babylon and this system, this church. She's cast out the word, destroyed Bibles, and worthy essays of the godly. And I thought that was interesting that Brother Branham said that, because, well, there are worthy essays of the godly. There are still things that are well written, that are essays about things of God. But if there's worthy essays, then there's also unworthy essays. So we should be careful. Just because it says it's godly doesn't necessarily mean it's a worthy essay of the godly. Something to think about. And then this stuck out to me as well. Page 219, Brother Branham talking about Columba and the men that followed him. Instead of ever attacking other religions, they taught the truth, for they believed that the truth was weapon enough to accomplish the ends that God had in mind for them. We don't have to attack. We don't have to attack the false doctrines of others. We don't have to worry about them, church. We've got the truth. We should preach the truth. We should dwell in the truth. We should live in the truth. It should just be the truth. We don't have to worry. Like, every now and then, yeah, you gotta, you know, okay, be aware of this thing going on, and it's wrong, and this is why. But otherwise, hey, let's just focus on the truth. Let's focus on the promise that God has given us. So those are the few things that I just wanted to bring out in what you'll be reading for lesson 40, your assignment. So, amen. God bless you. I will just turn it to you. You're more gifted in music.
Bless you. Amen. Let's stand together tonight, worship the Lord before we leave. Amen. I appreciate Brother Trevor taking the time to go to someplace that most of us will probably never get a chance to go and film some of the things that the places and things and history of St. Columba. Amen. It was a blessing to me. I got a little preview of it before you did, and I was blessed both times, but enjoyed it and appreciated him taking the time to do that. And amen. We're blessed with the truth. Amen. What a blessed people that we are. Let's sing this tonight together. Oh, can't you see why I'm happy? Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4.
Jesus for me.
Because I can't. Yeah.
Service 6:30, or sorry, 7:30 Wednesday night. I will serve.
Oh, I will serve the Lord.
We'll pray.